I'm Max Baer. Welcome to the latest Echo Walks. Echo Walks are conversations with wonderful, inspiring people. For our latest walk, I invited designer Mariusz Przybylski. We talk about how to create, what design is, as well as go behind the scenes of his life. Come along for our latest walk. Good morning. We meet years later in a unique place, the Palace of Culture and Science, since not everyone knows where I took you for this unique walk. This is a place you already know because it's where one of your shows took place.
Yeah, years ago, but one was actually here, and I associate this space with the event and that show, with those emotions. I really like this place. I really like the building itself, both from the outside and the inside. I'm glad you invited me here too.
Art and culture have always been inscribed in your DNA. Did you know from an early age that you wanted to follow a career path that would be strictly characterized by art and design?
Yeah, I think so, because I had interests like that since my childhood, such passions. That is, I did a lot of artistic activities from an early age. Those were moments that I remember to this day as my warmest childhood memories, when I drew, painted, glued something. I danced a lot too, for example, so...
Was this a space for expressing yourself? Was it a place where Mariusz found his inner peace and energy?
I think so. I don't remember it exactly because it's kind of a blur. But as I recall my childhood and those moments when I felt so comfortable there, connected with all my artistic passions, there was a lot of that because I really devoted a lot of time to it. On this map of life, childhood is a warm spot. And that childhood is in my drawings, in my play, in my artistic play, of course. I remember that now with great sentiment, and I think it was kind of a seed, a starting point for what I'm doing today.
Yeah, and you do a lot. I also know that your family is focused on the hard sciences. Your mom, dad, these are people who definitely influenced you. Have you always felt this humanism, or did it somehow influence you over time?
It didn't work. That didn't work. It was too, and it is too strong, too big, this love of mine, this passion of mine. It is something that really boils over in me, and there it really fills me and builds me up in some way. So whether it was a humanistic or artistic family or hard science oriented like mine, it seems to me that it would not be possible to stop it inside me. You know, there's so much of it, and simply it just had to spill out.
So it had to happen this way. It can also be inspiring for other people who are watching and listening to us now that if you have your inner voice, you have to follow it. Because you, from a smaller town, kept pushing yourself forward. There was an arts high school, and then?
The Academy of Fine Arts in Łódź.
Academy of Fine Arts in Łódź. At the arts high school, you were already, in a certain way, creating for fashion. But was there a moment when you could draw a little from the arts high school and from each side and then put it together into one thing?
Well, while I'm still from the generation that had 8 grades of primary school and then there was art school, when choosing this high school, I didn't know exactly where, so to speak, I would settle in these fields. Was it really going to be fashion or something else? I was in this interior design class, but we had a lot of such general art classes, mainly drawing, painting, and sculpture, which were also very valuable and important to me. It was only when I was there as a sophomore that this fashion aspect really blossomed. Blossomed somewhere in me so strongly that I felt that I would go down this road. And naturally, after graduating from high school, there was already the Academy and the Faculty of Design. That is the Faculty of Fabrics, Apparel, and Clothing Design.
And tell me, during these studies, did you discover yourself first of all as Mariusz? And thanks to this, also Mariusz professionally. Was it strictly student time, or did you already feel like just working all the time, creating? I guess this is always the time when students are either pushing forward or getting some more interpersonal contacts. How was it in your case?
I think it was a mix, you know, some sort of balance to it all. Already in college, I was convinced that I wanted to be a designer, that I wanted to do fashion. and that it was really my way. But I was also into student life, which shaped me as well. You know, I think I've properly lived every step of my life. And that's what I think. I got what I needed for the given time in my life. I think it was a balance between hard work, because the first 3 years at the academy are not easy. There's a lot of work. Sometimes you really do need to pull all-nighters. However, despite that, I always found the time to have some broad social contacts, which also somehow built me up. Maybe not as a designer, but as a person for sure.
Later you moved to Warsaw, and I know that since you say that everything happened for a reason, you also started your adventure with fashion by being a stylist's assistant. In one of your interviews you said, "I just carried heavy bags."
It all started with that. That's exactly what it was like. I started coming to Warsaw in my fifth year during my last year at the university. So I tried to get my foot in the door a little bit already here. Just one foot, and just like you mentioned, I started with that. That is, I mainly carried bags because I was just an assistant. I mainly moved clothes from one place to another or picked up clothes somewhere in the city for another theme that was conceived by the main stylist. Let me tell you honestly that quite quickly and quite naturally, I went from this apprenticeship to working on my own as a stylist. I think less than a year of this apprenticeship, I was already doing quite large projects, some big photo shoots, big music videos.
From when we spoke privately, I know that during this apprenticeship, you had to learn this art with a needle and thread because you needed something tailored a certain way for the shoot. Was it during exams? I remember you told me that there was some bohemian look and you suddenly have to grab some accessories and create it yourself.
Yeah, well, those were completely different times. You know, there were no showrooms. There was no way to even borrow things. The market was really small. That is, there weren't even that many clothing stores. So when an idea came up, for example, for like a bohemian photo shoot or any other, I don't know, for example, say the 1950s, well, we didn't even have a place to find the clothes to create the shoot. So naturally, I had to do it myself. So, you know, I was out there buying pieces of fabric or going to secondhand stores, and then I would break these down to use the fabric and create the clothes for the shoots. That really bore fruit nicely in the future because thanks to all of that, I built a really beautiful portfolio. A beautiful portfolio because there was a lot of publications and also these shoots. I dressed very cool people, some public people, and it actually made my portfolio grow very nicely.
Did your personal brand grow as well?
Well, listen, this portfolio was like the first step with which my first kind of a business card, a bargaining chip that I carried around, so to speak, and I looked for companies and brands that could support me at my first show.
And you also learned right at the start that it is strictly management and this skill of combining a bit of production because you are ultimately responsible for everything. Your next show is coming up?
Well, it's way too much to say that I'm responsible for everything, but everything in each of the spheres of a show, I really do get into it quite deeply because it's part of the whole story. I really want to be present at every stage because this is my story, my fairy tale, which I sell to the outside, and it's super important to me. Every element of this puzzle is very important to me. I choose the music myself, I design the set myself, I practically never use stylists during the shows. And if I do use them, it's only the basis that they help me choose, for example, hair and makeup, because I don't like someone interfering with my collection. It's so mine. It's kind of purely created by me that I don't like it when someone changes it.
Yeah, well, you like to change yourself. I remember every time we stood in a row, styled before going on the catwalk, you were always making some kind of corrections or maybe replace something, which means it's a living thing until the end. Would you describe yourself as spontaneous or does the design let you become completely free? I think you should call it that.
Well, yeah, you know, this is my greatest passion, so I express myself with it. So, if I have the opportunity to create, in my case it's fashion, well, it is something that really carries me, that makes me develop, that builds me up, thanks to which I live with it, with fashion. I say this a bit tongue-in-cheek because I feel it so strongly. It's fused with me. I can't imagine pursuing another profession, that I could pursue a profession that is not my passion.
So you found a job that kept you from going to work?
Kind of, yeah. But this is only if I can actually deal with the fashion. Because, like you noticed here, the designer's work in Poland is a little broader. So you've got to get into organizational topics a bit, some business topics. So it's not like I show up at the studio and just design for 8 hours a day.
You are a multi-instrumentalist in everything you do. Now I wonder, when moments like a show come along, which is always very important to you, because you finish these details. We have already talked about this.
Yeah, I try.
You try to have real impact on everything and not necessarily be responsible. But in the end, and I've watched you over the years, I have the impression that you feel the responsibility to make it exactly the way you like.
Well, it is my baby. That's exactly what we talked about. It's like when someone releases their book, which they spent a year writing, or their album that they spent a year recording. I also release my collection and my show, and I also often spend 6 months or even more working on it. So on that scale, some of the emotions or the impact of those activities, it's exactly the same. That is, as if this baby that's born after such a long creative process, everyone wants it to be perfect and luxurious, you know, as good as possible, right?
You have the ability to influence other men. Has men's fashion always been more your preference?
Yeah.
At what point did you feel like you wanted to create for gentlemen? And at what point did you feel like you were ready to create for ladies?
I'm a guy myself, so I naturally started with myself, experiments on me. These were really diverse and actually started very early. When we spoke privately earlier, I told you this is also my approach to life in general. I mean, that each of us has a reason for being here, right? I feel like I'm just supposed to dress men well. That's my assignment. That's my gift. And I carry this gift with really huge satisfaction and huge passion and with such great force that this is it, because I love it, because I understand it, because it is, to me, it is just in me. And whether I look at you or other men, it is...
Would you like to change something right away?
It's not about changing, except I know what it takes to make a given guy look good.
And is it sometimes a curse for you, such as an internal curse, meaning that you think too much, or have you learned to flip that switch off inside?
It used to be like that. When I looked at people and I wanted to change them so much, and I wanted to help them so much, and I wanted to just give them advice. And you know, over the years, with my experience, I realized that not everyone wants that advice. Not everyone needs it. That it's not about changing all men's image, but for those who really care about it, who want it. So it stopped being a curse, and it became a blessing the moment I met a man who actually came to me and said, I'd like you to advise me, I'd like you to help me pick clothes, because I have this need, because I pay attention to it.
Then where do you start? Where does your adventure begin when someone comes and say, Marius, design something for me, do your styling? Or is it based on a relationship?
Well, despite everything, I also look at his appearance, because he is a starting point, right? Like I said, if someone, I know what they need to do to hide their tummy. I know what they need to broaden their shoulders. I have a lot of know-how in such, let's call them magic tricks that allow me to...
The technical ones?
Yes, they allow me to figure to actually take on, to have the figure to actually take on nice proportions. But I think the most important and key point of the conversation, including about dressing, is their personality. The mind, that is. What does he want? Why did he come here? What's his purpose? That's what builds the image of this man, as well as the woman that I work with. How can I help him? How far can I go? What needs to be done to make him feel good? Are we going to oscillate only in very calm, subdued ideas? Or can we go for something more? What does he need it for? This is like a starting point that actually leads us this way later on to clarify. So let's say that I also express myself. And I really have the impression that I usually manage to give these men, although let's not forget the women, these women too, a sense that, you know, I hear later how these women tell me, because I specialize in suits, when they tell me that, you know, I had this meeting at our corporation, there were just men, and I was the only woman. And I am walking in this suit, the one from you, and I am a firecracker. And I feel that I'm just like a rocket. I'm sitting there with them, and I'm equal to these 10 guys, because the clothes also give me strength, because these clothes also somehow ground me in my strength and in everything I do. It's kind of the same as a costume designer in a theater or a movie. Of course, fashion is exactly on the other side. Costume design dresses people, fashion dresses people, but these clothes also create them in some way.
It's functional. You often give your outfits very interesting elements.
Thanks.
These elements which enhance them in a certain way, express them, but also make these shows so expressive very often. That's very nice, I would say.
Oh, that's a good word. That's nice.
There's a lot of color and it all works together. I remember all the set designs we talked about. You always made sure that the fashion was also exciting from the catwalk's point of view, but also functional. The kind that simply gives it everyday craftsmanship, that we put on something that is of good quality. Is it the design skill for you that you design it always in some way assigns a given purpose to a particular piece?
Well, that's the idea of the work. That's the idea of design in general, that it has to serve people. In my thinking, there's no good design without the function.
So this mathematically aspect from the family home is...
Well, yeah, you could say it somehow survived. And it's extremely important that we distinguish what art is and what design is. And what design really is, I think it really isn't art, though it sometimes comes up against it. Let's put it that way. It oscillates around art, but these are two separate roads or two rivers, which of course flow side by side, but they don't connect. And that aspect of functionality is crucial here. Whenever I'm invited to a meeting with young people, with young students, we talk about it a lot, because it's not part of the Polish education, or there's very little of it. Just to explain the basic difference, which is so very diametrically opposed, because many young people, I also studied, and I also know what my approach was to fashion at the time. It seemed to us that the more we made something strange, the more it became a costume.
Spectacular.
That's what it was about, and then it turned out to be exactly the opposite. Now, when I sometimes give exercises to young people in a workshop today, I say, design a fresh, new, white t-shirt. Turns out, they don't know what to do. No one has anything to say. But when you offer them inspiration, totally fabulous, it suddenly turns out imagination can work. It is, in my opinion, very important in design education to face the simplest things. To teach people that fashion, in my case, and I can speak on this subject, must have its function. It has to interact with the person, it has to serve them with their movement, with their body, with the occasion that it was made for. That is also sometimes it must keep them warm, sometimes cool them off. It has a lot of different functions.
Exactly. These functions are inscribed in us. But above all, you said that you have contact with students, that you have already gone down this road before, and now you can give someone some kind of guidance. If you were to go back to your beginnings, what mistakes would you not repeat, and what would you look at from a different perspective?
You mean as a student?
Yeah, what advice would you give yourself? Advice that someone didn't give you that would have helped a lot?
Well, first of all, you know what? I would follow my own path and listen to myself. I would say, don't turn down roads that aren't mine.
You mean intuition?
Yeah, it's to follow your intuition, your instinct, because it's true. It really always wins, so to speak, here in lofty terms. It's what makes you grow, and it's the best leader in your professional life. All these turns, when you enter into some new fascination, whether as a student, for example, or the studio of a given professor, or the fascination of some other designers who are your masters, they lead you astray, because that's all already been done. these are the ingredients that someone uses to cook this dish, and you have to make yours. You have to use the ingredients, or you have to mix them so that it's your own DNA.
I also heard that Issey Miyake once said that copy until your copy is such a way that your own form will be created, that you'll be inspired by it in such a way that you will go your own way all the time.
Because you gotta look inside yourself. And I'll tell you honestly, this took years and years of my work. And such as a man with himself and as a designer, we often look aside. We often look to the outside. And actually, when I started to look inside myself, let's call it, it really ticked. It started to happen because it really was in the truth. And it was in truth with myself, me as Mariusz Przybylski, someone who is simply living on this planet, but also me as a creator, as a designer, someone who is constantly looking for and wants to express himself with my work, right? And it was only there, when I looked there, not elsewhere, only there, it turned out that the greatest treasure is there and that you can draw from there.
And that, we want that from you, too.
And suddenly it becomes real, and it turns out that it's huge, that people like it, that people believe it, that it's not imaginary, that it's not some rehash, like a performance played out a role. Only when you're honest with people and you tell them about your work honestly and it comes from the heart, it somehow turns out that people also feel it.
Well, yes, but at what point did you feel that your personal brand, not the private Marius, but the designer who is already becoming more and more popular, is becoming such a person that people are starting to look at you in a slightly different way? Did it help you, or did it get in your way in life?
It happens all the time because it's a continuous process. It's not like it happened on Friday in April 2018. It's like it happens all the time because it's a continuous process. It's not like it happened on Friday in April 2019. It's like it's happening all the time.
But you're already a designer today who, just like a few days ago, puts himself on the catwalk, who says that, in fact, it is strictly close group of 10 best people. You are the person we invite to all sorts of projects that defines you as a specialist. Don't be modest anymore.
All right. Thanks very much for saying that.
Now, at this point, I'm wondering, was there a situation where it started to bother you that you were simply popular?
The profession of a designer is not such a profession in Poland that we are in the limelight like actors or singers or whatever you call them. It's slightly different. You know, no one follows us around the street to photograph and so on. So it's also not something that makes our life difficult. Sure, when we appear at some events related to fashion or show business, then the whole show business environment takes place.
Yeah, that noise. Did it affect you in any way?
But that's just part of this profession. So if I consciously decide to get into this profession, I also sort of decide that sometimes I end up going to such an event, I mean, related to fashion, and that there might be someone there with a camera, and that there will be someone there with a camera, and there's nothing wrong with that.
So you're still enjoying the world around you?
The older I get, all the more so.
Tell me, when this world stopped for a moment, when the pandemic came, a very difficult time, very uncertain for the fashion world, what did you do? At first, it slowed things down. Nobody knew which way to turn, how to behave. This practical fashion, in its simplest form, the home form, came to the fore. Which way did you go? Did you take a break, or did you start to think in a multi-instrumental business way that you need to act because it's going to get hot?
COVID caused, more than anything at the beginning, that my business just stopped almost completely. Store sales and online sales stopped. All the big, fast-paced projects stopped, as did all the additional ones I had. Indeed, the start of COVID was a time when I was just really, really scared. Just the whole situation, because I have a group of people whose salaries I pay. I have a studio, and suddenly there was this total crash of some kind in my fashion world. It made me totally, completely scared about what will happen next. Total fear, total panic, it actually lasted for a while. I don't know how to deal with it and what to do with it, but over time, it just turned out it really was...
Time for you?
It was something great, because it's just something that I got, which I didn't have before, because I was still in this hamster wheel, in this vortex, running from one project to another, several projects at once, two shows a year, more collections, additional sales collections. So I was constantly running. And then suddenly, due to these external factors, completely independent of me, it stopped. It stopped, and I was in a panic at first. And I was like terrified, because I'm knocked out of my, let's call it, natural habit. That, like, what am I supposed to do?
Do your old homework. Did you manage to do it then?
Yeah, that's when it happened. There was a time to be together, a time to talk to each other, to work through some things that there previously wasn't really time for. And I think most of us have to work through, to look at myself in a broader and deeper context, more than anything. And to take a look at that longing that had always been calling out, and to hug it, to talk it out, to discuss it as it had somehow remained hidden behind the curtain. And all of a sudden, there's this space to face yourself. You're staying home, you don't have all this momentum, you go to people who are able to help you, just in order to be in good dialogue with yourself at last.
Does this good dialogue with yourself as a creator become even more interesting internally, and later give you a chance to translate it more consciously into design or art? What do you think?
I think that's probably the only way. That even when I think about the greatest artists, as I read a lot there, even about the iconic Picasso, these people, also because of how much their inner lives evolved, how much they built from the inside, then their art also changed, then their design changed, because these things can't be separated. This is me, as this one body, the psyche, the heart, the spirit, because I also think that it is there, and that all this is happening to me, that I am changing, all that I am working on, all these small and bigger hills that I'm overcoming, they influence the rest of my life.
Did your body and mind give you such inner peace at some point that you know where you're going, or are you just enjoying the day?
I think it's both. You know, these things can't be separated. I think we Poles like these either-or situations so much, but if we replace that or with and, things can go both ways.
So logic comes into play here, which means you are complete to some extent at the moment.
I'll never be complete, because I'm walking all the time. I'm on my way in life all the time. I'm learning all the time, and I discover something every day. Even this conversation of ours gives me a lot here too. Light bulbs are going on, doors are opening, more doors open. So this whole process is going on all the time. Until I die, I'll be on a constant path, a constant development, of a constant search, really.
You're open-minded. You're always correlated with your person, who is tolerant, wise, and emotionally intelligent.
We gotta see each other more often, really.
I wonder how, looking at everything that is going on at the moment in fashion, you approach these changes. For example, the metaverse. Will you, at some point, be Marius, a designer who will be able to create objects, for example, for the internet, like those that are intangible? Or is this form that we have to wear always the most important for you after all?
You know, I'd be happy to face that. All the challenges I face as a designer are really valuable. They're uplifting, they're developmental, and I know I'm repeating myself here, but this development is still ongoing. It is so important to me, you know? So I'd be really happy if there was a space and an opportunity for me to do something like that. Then yeah, I'd be very happy to learn it. I'd be happy to get into it, get to understand it, feel it, and actually create something like it. Although it doesn't change my basic view and thinking that what we wear as people, it matters, that I design for living people. That is how you perceive it by wearing it. And that's invaluable, that it can't be created only in the virtual world, that it must be felt.
And how do you feel about yourself internally in the peace that you found and learned to look at certain things with perspective? So what do you dream of the most at the moment?
What do I dream of the most today? To just be in good contact with each other.
And I wish you that. Thank you very much.
Thank you too.